You cannot lose your salvation once it's been given to you. Nobody can snatch you out of God's hands. Even Satan can't snatch you out of God's hands. You say, well, you can't be snatched out of God's hands. Maybe you could jump out on your own. How big do you think God's hand is? You think you can get to the edge of it and then fall off? No, God's hand's so big, and you're in God's hands, there's no way you can fall out of it.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we bring Rick's brand new series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love to a close. Now in just a bit, we're going to let you know how to get this complete series on CD or downloadable MP3s, perfect for when you're on the go. If you'd like to take a sneak peek while you listen to today's broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Word of Trust.
The Bible says there's only one sin that is unforgivable. Only one. And it isn't suicide, by the way. In fact, some of the greatest saints in history, in the Bible, were suicidal. Some of them were very depressed and despair. Some wished at low points that they'd never been born. David in the Bible, Jeremiah in the Bible, Job in the Bible all said, I wish that I had never been born. That's pretty depressed. And they were great believers. And there were three people in the Bible who actually asked God to kill them, to take their lives. Moses asked God to take his life. Elijah asked God to take his life. Jonah asked God to take his life. That's pretty depressed. And he said, God, just kill me. Okay, just kill me. The Bible says there's only one unforgivable sin. Only one. It's called blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? It means rejecting God's grace and rejecting Christ all the way up to death. It means to die rejecting Christ. So let me put your mind at ease, because some of you think, have I ever committed the unpardonable sin, the unforgivable sin? You wonder about that. Okay, number one, if you've ever worried that you committed a sin, you haven't. Because if you had, you wouldn't worry about it. Okay, so if you worry, I've done the one unforgivable sin, you ain't done it, friend, sorry. The fact that you're worried about it, you're concerned about it, means you still have a conscience. So if you've ever worried about it, you haven't done it. Second thing is, if you're alive, you haven't committed a sin. Because you can only commit it by dying, rejecting Christ. So if you're alive, you cannot commit the sin. You can only commit it by dying, saying, forget you, God, and I croak, and I die. Does that ease up anybody's mind a little bit here? Okay, you can't do it without dying. Now, number three, let's go to the third great news. When I'm going through dark days, I have a Father in heaven who loves me. And when I'm going through dark days, I remind myself that I have a Father in heaven who can be trusted. He doesn't just love me. I can trust him with every area of my life. And I shouldn't worry. I should commit it and trust everything I'm worrying about to him. Number three, my Father is taking care of things I can't see. This is the third thing we learned from this passage, is that my Father in heaven is taking care of the things that I can't see. We only see the physical things in life. We only see the material things in life. But we know that there's a lot of things going on in life we can't see. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. It's as real as what you see. What you see is limited by your eyeball and your brain. We know, for instance, right now, there are radio waves and television waves running through this building and actually going through your body. You can't see them, But if you turn on a radio, turn on a TV and tune in, you can get the picture. They're there. They're in this air right now. There are all kinds of radio and television waves going through the air right now. You cannot see them. Just because you cannot see them does not make them false. There's far more to life than just the material. There's far more to life than just the physical. In fact, the things that are going to last are not material. All the material stuff, this chair is not going to last. One day, it'll fall apart because all material things, according to the second law of thermodynamics, deteriorate.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. There's more coming up. And when you have a minute, be sure to check out PastorRick.com for tons of great resources. While you're there, go ahead and sign up for his free daily email devotional and free podcast. And follow Rick on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you'd like us to send you a copy of this entire sermon series in a boxed 7-CD set or via MP3 download, just let us know. It's our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope today. You'll get all 7 messages in the series, including portions we didn't have time for during the broadcast. The 7 Greatest Words of Love complete audio collection is perfect for when you're in the car, at the market, or at the gym. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get this awesome study tool, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
We only see the physical things in life. We only see the material things in life. But we know that there's a lot of things going on in life we can't see. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. It's as real as what you see. What you see is limited by your eyeball and your brain. We know, for instance, right now, there are radio waves and television waves running through this building and actually going through your body. You can't see them. But if you turn on a radio, turn on a TV and tune in, you can get the picture. They're there. They're in this air right now. There are all kinds of radio and television waves going through the air right now. You cannot see them. Just because you cannot see them does not make them false. There's far more to life than just the material. There's far more to life than just the physical. In fact, the things that are going to last are not material. All the material stuff, this chair is not going to last. One day, it'll fall apart because all material things, according to the second law of thermodynamics, deteriorate. This building will one day deteriorate. The trees will deteriorate. And your body is deteriorating. Hate to tell you that. But the physical is not getting better. Anybody want to give a testimony of that right now? The physical, the spiritual is actually more real. And God is taking care of the things that you can't see. So when you're in your dark days, you can't see the solution. When you're in the dark, you can't see the antidote. You can't see the solution, the problem that's solved. And while you're waiting, God is working. And what you need to do is trust. While you're waiting for that job, while you're waiting for that answer to prayer, while you're waiting for that change, while you're waiting, God is working. And that's why you need to trust. I entrust my spirit. Circle that word, my spirit. That implies that you're far more than a body. And of course you are. Life is far more than material or physical. You're made in the image of God, which means you have a spirit, you have a soul. One of my friends is a brilliant businessman. His name is Peter Thiel. He's a good friend, and some of you know who Peter Thiel is. He's an entrepreneur. He's up in the Silicon Valley. He started PayPal, became a billionaire starting PayPal. And one day I was at one of his intellectual confabs called The Dialogue. It's upheld at Sundance in Utah. And there's all these brainiacs, these, you know, nuclear physicists and stuff like that. And we were in a discussion one day, and Peter Thiel asked me, he said, Rick, with the advent of artificial intelligence, which we know is getting smarter and smarter and smarter, he said, Rick, are is artificial intelligence ever going to need faith and religion? That's a legitimate question. And the answer to that, of course, is no. Now, if all you were was simply an intellect, we know that we can create machines right now that are smarter than you or me in certain things. We human beings can create machines that are smarter than us. But you're far more than intelligence. Human being, yes, has intellect, but you have far more than just intelligence. You have spirit. You have a soul. And while we can create greater intelligence, we can't create a soul. And so it's a question that's not needed. Now, the Bible says that here on earth, there's an unseen battle going on for your soul between good and evil. Let me give you a couple examples where you have to trust. Job says it like this. When he, talking about God, when he is at work in the north, I don't see him. And when he, God, turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. In other words, I don't see God with my physical eyes. But, he says, he, God, knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. That dark spot you're in right now, this is a test. And although you cannot see God, he can see you. And God can see what you cannot see. And you can trust God that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he can be trusted, and that he's taking care of the things that you cannot see. Paul says the same thing, 2 Corinthians 4. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, he says, we fix, what does that part mean? He's saying that the problems you're going through right now, God's purpose is greater than the problem you're going through. And what you need to do is get your eye on God's purpose rather than your problem. That's what it means. Father, I entrust myself to your care. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, a greater purpose that far outweighs them all. So, he says, here's the solution. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. One last thing you need to remember when you're going through dark days. These are all four important. And the fourth one is this. My Father can handle anything I put in his hands. My Father can handle anything I put in his hands. He loves me. He's trustworthy. He's taking care of things I can't see. And he can handle anything I put in his hands. That's the last part of the phrase. Father, he's a loving father. I entrust, he's trustworthy. My spirit, he handles the spiritual stuff we can't even see in the spiritual world. I entrust it into your hands. This phrase, into your hands, is a beautiful expression of care and security. You know, there's a well-known TV commercial, you're in good hands with Allstate. Yeah, right, okay, good for you. What in the world does that mean? What they are implying is our insurance company will take care of you. You're in good hands with Allstate. You know, I have big hands because my dad had big hands. And my dad was a carpenter. And when my dad swung a hammer, and he built all of his life, the hammer seemed small in his hand. He had such a giant hand. And I got big hands as a result. But my heavenly Father has even bigger hands. Even bigger hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Somebody should write a song about that, really. Okay, I mean, that's how big his hands are. When Kay and I got married, one of the first Bible studies she did was called The Hand of the Lord. And she told me that she discovered over 200 times in the Bible the phrase, the hand of the Lord is used. So I just end with this, and you can write this down real quickly. How big is God's hands? How big are they? How big are his hands? Well, write these down. Number one, God's hands are big enough to bless me. God's hands are big enough to bless me. Jesus often put his hands on people to bless them. And in Isaiah 62, it says, the Lord will hold you in his hands for all to see, a splendid crown in the hands of God. They're big enough to bless me. Number two, God's hands are big enough, they're strong enough to keep me eternally secure. God's hands are strong enough to keep me eternally secure. If I put my life in that lockbox, in that safety deposit box, it ain't going anywhere. Jesus said it like this, very important verse. Follow me on it. John 10, Jesus says, I give them, that's you, eternal life, and they will never, circle the word never, never perish. My Father has given them to me, and he's greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. You cannot lose your salvation once it's been given to you. Nobody can snatch you out of God's hands. Even Satan can't snatch you out of God's hands. You say, well, you can't be snatched out of God's hands. Maybe you could jump out on your own. How big do you think God's hand is? You think you can get to the edge of it and then fall off? No, God's hand's so big, and you're in God's hands, there's no way you can fall out of it. When my kids were little, I'd get in the pool, and Amy and Josh and Matthew would line up on the side, and I'd say, jump to me, jump into my hands, trust me, I'll catch you. And they were always scared to death to do it. The first time they just, I don't want to do it. Oh, daddy, daddy, jump to me. I'll catch you. I'll catch you in my hands. Look, I can handle it. All right? And they were just afraid to jump into my hands. But then finally, they do it. And when they jump into my hands, of course I catch them. And then they want to do it 100 more times. Because once you've jumped into your Father's hands, that's flat out fun. And you want to do it again and again and again. Once you've learned how to trust God with your life, you get addicted to it. And you want to do it over and over and over. And you want to trust God for bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger things. And that is the story of my life. Because as a little boy, I jumped into my Heavenly Father's hands. And he caught me. And at that point, I knew I can trust God. And so I started jumping further and further back. Further and further back. And then jumping off cliffs. And every time he has caught me. And I'm addicted to it. It's flat out fun, trusting God. Trusting the loving hands. His hands are big enough to bless me and strong enough to keep me eternally secure. And I want to just tell you today this. God, your Heavenly Father, is waiting for you to jump. He's standing in the pool going, come on, I love you, you can trust me. I'm accountable. You can count on my faithfulness, and I'm big enough to handle you. Jump into my hands. You need to do that, and you need to start doing it all the time. There's a third thing you need to know about the hands of God. It's this. His hands are scarred. Yes, the hands of Jesus are scarred with the nail prints so that he cannot forget me. Do you know that in heaven you're going to have a perfect body? There will be no scars in heaven. Aren't you grateful for that? No flaws on your body in heaven? No warts, no pimples, no scars, none. The only scars that will be on anybody in heaven will be on Jesus. From his hands and his head and his side and his feet. And they're going to be there for eternity to always be reminders of us of what it cost him to pay for our salvation. The Bible says this, Isaiah 49, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? The obvious answer is, of course not. A nursing mother could not forget her baby. Though she may forget, God says, I'm not going to forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. When you look at the nail prints of the cross, Jesus says, this is how much I love you. This is how much I love you. I love you this much. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God has a tattoo of you. You get a tattoo of people you love. God has a tattoo of you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands when they were nailed to the cross. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I advise you to do this. Last verse. Paul says this, I think you ought to know, dear brothers, about the hard times that we went through in Asia. We were really crushed, and we were overwhelmed, and we feared that we would never live through it. Some of you feel that way right now. And we felt we were doomed to die, and we saw how powerless we were. But, here's the big change, but that was good. You know the problems you're going through? Those are good. Why? For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us. For he can even raise the dead. Give it to God. Commit it. Deposit it in the safety deposit box. Now, I mentioned earlier that Jesus was quoting Psalm 31, the greatest psalm. And I mentioned that probably Mary probably taught that Jesus. It's like, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, when I was little, a little boy, when I'd get scared at nighttime, I'd go in and I'd fall asleep on my parents' bed. I'd actually try to get between them. And I'd try to fall asleep between my parents and because I was felt safe there. And after I'd fall asleep, my daddy would pick me up in his strong arms and his big hands, and he would carry me back to my bed after I'd fallen asleep. And in the morning, I would wake up and something amazing would happen. I would be awake in my own bed. Why? Because while I was sleeping, my father would carry me with loving arms to where I belonged. And I've thought about that a lot, as that is a perfect picture of what it means to die as a believer in Jesus Christ. One day, you will go to sleep, and your heavenly Father will pick you up in his loving arms, and he will take you to where you belong for eternity. And that's what heaven is all about. Friends, I know this has been a long message, but this is a theme that you need the rest of your life. It's not something just to say when you're dying, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. It's something to say every single day of your life. When you are fearful, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. When you're angry, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. When you're depressed, Father, I trust my spirit into your hands. When you're confused, Father, I trust my spirit into your hands. When you're in despair and you don't know which way to go, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. When you have a big decision, Father, I trust my spirit into your hands. You need to use this theme every day the rest of your life.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you missed any part of today's message, no problem. Just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. And while you're at it, sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. And remember to click on his social media links too. If you'd like us to send you a copy of this entire series on an audio CD or via MP3 download, just let us know. It's our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. You'll get everything you've heard today, along with every message in the series, including portions we didn't have time for. The 7 Greatest Words of Love complete audio collection is perfect for when you're in the car, at the market, or at the gym. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, just call 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. Today is the last day to get this awesome Bible study tool, so don't wait. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks for listening today. You know, we can be completely confident that the gospel has the power not just to save us, but to change our lives on a daily basis. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.